people, listen, please. If your life were to end today, where would you spend eternity?
Welcome to the Cross Currents Radio Show, your spiritual speaker's corner, broadcast, and podcast. The culture is confused about Easter. What could chocolate bunnies and painted eggs possibly have to do with the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ? What's so good about Good Friday? In this series, our outreach radio team is keeping the cross current by taking the time to go, tell, and broadcast real-time street conversations with everyday people in the hope that all who hear the good news will come to believe. Please also make sure to keep listening until the very end of each episode as TCC radio host Corey McKenna helps us to see the role that we each play among the cast of characters in the most scandalous execution in human history and the life and death decision we all must face as a result. And with that in mind, let's get this show on the road. In the studio
and on the street
with the Cross Current Radio Show.
Okay, this is Eric with TCC Radio, and we're talking with people tonight about Easter, okay? And so what we want to know is, do you guys celebrate Easter? What and for what reason? Scott?
Yes, we do celebrate Easter, mostly because our families celebrate it, but obviously there's religious implications of the holiday, such as the 40 days after Passover and, you know, the resurrection of Jesus, of course.
Right. How about you, Janessa?
The same.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. So have you guys got a spiritual background?
Yes, we do.
Okay, what's that?
Like Brethren Baptist. You want the sect here?
No, that's cool. And same with you, Janessa?
Yeah, we're both Christians and we go to a Baptist church.
Okay, all right. Well, that's cool. Good Friday is actually a statutory holiday in Canada. Okay. So that means that at some point in time, someone thought it was important enough for us to take the day off of work and think about Good Friday. Now, can you tell me what is so good about Good Friday?
Well, it was the day that Jesus was crucified. I mean, technically, it's not the actual day. Of course, it was a Thursday, I think. But yeah, it falls under the weekend, so it worked out well for everybody. But yeah, it's important. I think the country is founded on religious beliefs, mostly Christian, obviously the Western ideals. So it is important that we do celebrate the society that we've come from, our ancestry, of course. And yeah, it's important because it was obviously the day that Jesus was crucified. So
okay. Yeah. Janessa, you agree with that?
I second that.
Okay, well, do you know what, you guys obviously know what crucifixion is then. If that's the case, what do you think is so good? You said that the fact that Jesus died on Good Friday is part of why Good Friday is good. So what do you think is good about the death of Jesus?
Well, the death of Jesus was to symbolize he's taking that on himself for all of humanity so they could also be saved.
He was taking what on himself?
The burden of sin of all of humanity so we could all be saved. So without him being crucified, he couldn't be resurrected again. And that would defeat the entire purpose of Christianity, as he is the Son of God. So,
okay, Janessa, you second that, I imagine,
yes.
Right?
Yes, I do.
Okay, well, you guys must be at least fairly on the same page if you're walking around in this kind of weather together. So, so in John 3, Nicodemus comes to Jesus by night, and he says, you know, what must I do and all that? And Jesus says that you must be born again, and unless a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. So what is being born again? Do you believe in the necessity of being born again?
I do believe in the necessity of being born again. Maybe not in the technical terms of being like baptized, for instance. I know the spiritual ramifications of that, and I obviously understand what that means. But I do believe that you have to be born again. You have to accept it into your heart. Because it's not given to you. Everybody has sinned, and until you can actually fully understand the ramifications of what you believe and when you ask into your heart what you believe, until you can make that kind of 180 in your life to follow him truly, I think that you can enter the kingdom of heaven.
Okay, what about you, Janessa?
Yeah, I agree. I think that it's a choice that you have to make, and until you make that choice and actually ask him into your heart and ask for forgiveness, I think that it's a necessity.
Okay, so is there a role in being saved for repentance, and what is that?
I think there is, yeah, of course. I think repentance is an important part, like I said, a 180 of what you're doing. I think repentance is, in fact, being born again. I think even though you could live a good life and you could understand, like I said, moral compass, you make your decisions based on right and wrongness. I still think that you do need to understand that you have to follow Christ and let him into your heart before you can truly enter the kingdom of heaven. So repentance is, in a way, is not so much that you have sinned or that you've lived a life full of sin. It's just that you are now understanding that it's sin and you need to understand you have to ask for forgiveness in certain situations. So,
okay, how does repentance affect one's actual outward actions?
Well, I think repentance, in and of itself, is of course just understanding that you've committed wrong. But I think your actions towards other people should also be part of that as well. So not only should you act better in accordance with Jesus Christ, but I think you should be able to be a gospel or a message towards other people as well.
Okay, well, this has been an interesting conversation because most of the time when we have these conversations, we just randomly pick people on the street, right? So we don't usually end up talking to people who have your point of view. We usually end up talking to people who have the opposite point of view of ourselves, you know?
Yeah.
But, right, so do you guys share your faith with others on a regular basis?
We try to be approachable. And I actually, I don't want to be the guy that's like, oh, I just kind of, you know, wait till people ask me quietly. I do live by my faith, and people understand that I have it. A lot of my friends do, even though a lot of friends are not Christian at all, which I think is an important thing for us. So we do live by that way, and we do get asked quite a bit about it by our friends. And so we are really open about it, and I think we do show our friends what we mean when we say we're Christians.
Right. How about you, Janessa?
Yeah, I think the same. It's not like we're on the streets talking to random people, telling them what our thoughts are, but if the subject is broached, then definitely we're completely open to telling people our thoughts and values and everything.
Right, right. I'm going to challenge you just a little bit now, okay? Now, the apostles and the example in the Bible, what's the example in the Bible as far as people sharing their faith, and does it line up with what you just said?
No, no, not at all. I mean, if you're looking at, you know, the Peter and the Pauls of the world, then yeah, no, we're not even close to that. But I think in this day and age, especially with the Western civilization and people kind of come to this whole postmodernist philosophy and thinking that, you know, everybody should just be cool and be their own person. I feel like if we were to be, you know, on the street corner preaching or, you know, standing up like for stuff like that against tyranny, I think we'd alienate a lot of people, which we don't want to do.
Do you think, is the biblical example, like Paul and Peter, as you mentioned, and not only them, but other Christians, and other Christians through history since then, right? Do you think that they alienated a lot of people?
Yes, for sure.
Okay, how about you, Janessa?
I completely agree, yes.
So do you think that alienating people because you're preaching the truth is somehow wrong, or do you think that maybe it just makes you uncomfortable?
Well, it doesn't get uncomfortable. I'm not going to lie. Obviously, it makes everyone uncomfortable. Yeah. But I really do believe that the best way to get people to turn, especially ones, so say you're preaching on the corner and 50 people are like, oh, rolling their eyes at you and that guy's an idiot. And that solidifies their opinion that Christians are all crazy, you know, preachers on the corner, and they walk away. And then one person, you know, comes to you. I know it's a great success in heaven. You know, heaven celebrates for every one person that turns towards the Father. But I think for us, our personal friends are the ones that we really care about. We would love for them to go to heaven with us. We really would. And I feel like if we were to become, you know, Billy Graham style preaching at them, I think that we might alienate them, and that would be really sad for both of us.
Well, yeah, no, I'm just speaking about society at large, not necessarily like people that you're close to. I would agree with you. Like I speak to my family a certain way. And I don't know you guys, you know, and I had no idea what you guys were going to say to me when I brought this up with you, right? So I speak to other people in a different way, you know. And so anyways, I just want to encourage you guys that to really search the scriptures, because what does the Bible say? Faith comes by
faith alone.
Faith comes by hearing, right?
Sure.
Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God.
Okay.
Right? That's what the Bible says. And it says, how can they hear without a preacher? Exactly. So faith comes by hearing the word of God, okay? And how can this lost and dying world hear without a preacher? You know, and preaching is, the Bible says that preaching is foolishness to the world, right? But the Bible also is very clear. If you read through 1 Corinthians, you know, it's the foolishness of preaching, the Bible calls it. That's the means by which God has chosen to bring truth into this world, okay? And so I would just encourage you guys to be like, you know, I understand speaking with people who are close to you in that way, but, you know, you're talking about preaching on the corner and stuff. About an hour ago, that's what I was doing over there in front of Old Quebec Street, you know? And we got guys down there doing the same thing right now as the hockey game's getting out and people are coming out. So, yeah, I would just encourage, like, that is the biblical model. And so that's why we do that. And I just saying this to try to make you feel like crummy Christians. I honestly just want to, like, encourage you to be bold with your faith and to talk with even strangers about it, because I can tell you from my own experience, when I first started doing it, I was nervous, man, and like I felt like I feel like just a total loser, and like I'm bothering these people and all that. You'd be amazed, even when I don't have this microphone, you'd be amazed at how many people we talk to that really enjoy talking about it, and even if they totally disagree, at the end of the conversation, they're like, you gave me something to think about. Thanks a lot. You guys have a good night, you know? So let me ask you a question, because this is a hypothetical dire situation, okay? Say my buddy Justin here was without Christ, and you knew he was without Christ. He wasn't saved, okay? And he's laying on the street right here with a knife sticking out of his back, and he had 3 minutes left to live, okay? What would you tell him?
I'm assuming you want me to say the word of God.
No, I just want you to say what you would honestly tell him.
Well, I'd probably have a few questions for him based on his predicament. But other than that, yeah, I would probably ask him what his faith was, where he thought he was going after, because he was probably going to die, I'm assuming you're getting.
Yeah, he has 3 minutes to live, sure, and okay, you know that.
Yeah. Okay, yeah, then yeah, I would definitely ask him about his faith and his, I really would. I mean, if he's on a deathbed, what do you have to lose, right?
Yeah. Yeah, well, you don't have anything to lose even if he's not on his deathbed, right?
No, I know.
Like, it's the promises are eternal promises, right? And we have gifts to look forward to in heaven beyond here, right? This isn't our home, right? So, Janessa, what do you think you would say to Justin if you were in that situation?
Yeah, I agree. I think that the most important thing to us is having a relationship with God. And if he was on his deathbed, then that was the first thing that would pop into my mind, and that would be the most important thing that he would need to know before he died.
Right. Well, that's good. Okay, here's the last thing. I'm just gonna share something with you guys, and this is the method that we use a lot of the time when we're talking to strangers on the street, whether we have this microphone or not. Okay. What we do, we've got these little tracks here, and we've got the church information on. I can't grab one with my gloves on. Hold on. Okay, and they've got the church information on them, and they look like a $1 million bill, okay? And then on the back, it says the $1 million question, right? So we hand people those things, and on the back it has the $1 million question, and the $1 million question is this, where will you spend eternity, right? Yeah. And that's a question that everyone needs to be able to answer before they walk off the face of this planet, you know? And so we tell them, you know, the Bible says heaven and hell, heaven's for good people. Hell's for bad people. That's what the Bible teaches, right? Essentially. And so what then we do is we ask them, do you think you're a good person or a bad person? You know, and do you think you'll end up in heaven or hell? And most people will say that they think they'll end up in heaven, mm-hmm. right? And so what we do is we say, okay, well, God has given us a standard in his word by which we can know whether we qualify for that or not, okay? Mm-hmm. And we'll take them through the law and we'll say, all right, one of the Ten Commandments is, thou shalt not bear false witness. You know, thou shalt not lie. So have you ever told a lie? Have you ever told a lie before?
Yeah.
Have you?
Yes.
So what does it make you if you tell lies?
A sinner.
Yeah, a sinner.
More specifically?
A
liar.
Lying sinner?
A liar. A liar. Right. Okay. And so usually a more appropriate question isn't, have you lied? It's, how many times have you lied? And most people can't count them, you know? Here's another one, thou shalt not steal, right? Have you ever stolen anything in your life? Taken anything? You ever downloaded a song that you didn't purchase online? You know, have you ever done that?
Yes, I have.
Like hundreds of times.
Yeah. Okay. So, what does the Bible say? If you steal things, not even that the Bible says it. Common sense says it. If you steal things, you're a
stealer, a sinner,
thief.
A thief, yeah.
A thief. Yeah. You'd be amazed how many people say stealer.
Stealer,
yeah.
I know.
Yeah.
Stealer.
Yeah, a liar's a liar, a stealer. Okay. All right. Here's another one. I shall not take the name of the Lord in vain. Taking God's name in vain is the same taking the name of God or the name of Jesus Christ and using it the same way you'd use a swear word or just using it without honor, without giving it due honor, okay? And the Bible says that he will not be held guiltless who takes the name of the Lord in vain, right? And so have you ever taken the name of the Lord in vain?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay, so the Bible calls that blasphemy, right? So that's three of the Ten Commandments, and I got just two more quick ones for you. One of the Ten Commandments is, I shall not commit adultery. Have you ever committed adultery?
No.
No.
No, never. Okay, well, Jesus said, you know what Jesus said about adultery, right?
No.
Okay, Jesus said if you even look upon a woman to lust after her, you've committed adultery with her already in your heart. For you, it would be a guy, right? Like Janessa. So with knowing that now, have you ever in your life committed adultery?
Well, it's sure.
Yes or no?
Sure.
We're engaged, so.
Okay, so if you've ever looked with lust, because God sees not only the sins that you outwardly do and the things that you speak, but the very things of your heart, you know, and that's sin. When we talked about repentance, that's a sin even that we need to repent of, right? How about thou shalt not kill? Have you ever killed anyone?
No.
Now think carefully. Think about the trick I just played with the adultery question.
Yeah, I'm going to say no.
No? Okay, well, Jesus said, if you hate your brother, you've committed sin. And if you've been angry without just cause, without a perfectly just cause, then you're guilty of the judgment also. Have you ever done that?
Yeah.
So, I thought it was that thou shalt not murder.
It's thou shalt, well, murder is the idea, yeah.
Okay, so in my heart, if I'm angry at someone for no reason at all, I've murdered them in my heart.
That's what Jesus said, yeah.
Okay, then yes, I have.
Okay, see, so this is only five of the Ten Commandments, all right? And we've gone through five commandments, and I got to admit, I'm in the same boat as you guys, you know? If I'm honest with myself, and you guys have just been honest with us, you're lying, thieving, blasphemous, murderous, adulterers at heart, right? And so if you stand before God on Judgment Day based on that, okay, that's important, based on that, what do you think the verdict would be, innocent or guilty?
Innocent.
What? Based on that alone? No. Guilty.
Guilty. Based on that alone is what I'm saying.
Oh, that alone. Sure, yeah, guilty.
Okay, because that's what most people that we talk to don't profess any faith in Christ, right? Yeah. So based on that, then you'd be guilty. And what the Bible says, the punishment for sin, it says it is appointed unto man once to die, and after this comes the judgment. So we'll stand before God and be judged for the things we've done in this body. And because God is a holy God and a just God, perfectly just, perfectly holy, totally separate from sin, he cannot allow any sin, even one sin, to go unpunished. Okay? And so because of that sin, what the Bible says we've earned for ourselves, the wages of sin is death. The Bible describes a physical death, but also the second death, which is the lake of fire, which is eternal hell. It's a spiritual death, okay? And so what we've earned for ourselves because of our sin is death and then hell forever. So what then would anyone do? You know, this is something that we would ask people. What then, what hope does anyone possibly have to go to heaven, you know? And we go on to just explain to them simply that I explained to you already the wages of sin is death. Yeah. Jesus Christ came to this earth 2,000 years ago, fully God and fully man, and lived a perfect life, and he never sinned. But what happened to Jesus?
He went to hell.
He went to hell?
Yeah.
Jesus did?
Yeah.
He was crucified.
He died. That's the question. That's
he was in hell for those 3 days.
He wasn't in hell. He was in the grave.
He was.
Okay, well, we're gonna have to disagree on that.
All
one
right. No, it's fine.
But
it translation thing.
But
it's
the
cool.
thing but the thing is Jesus died, okay, but the wages of sin is death. So Jesus never earned death for himself. So by him dying, what the Bible says is he took on the punishment for our sins. He paid the fine for our sins. He was the propitiation in our place for our sins, okay? He died, spent 3 days in the tomb, and after 3 days, he rose again, defeating death, defeating sin, showing the power over hell and death and sin that he had. And he did all of that so that his righteousness could be put on us. Our sin put on him, his righteousness put on us. That's the exchange. And it's a gift from God, but the thing about a gift is it has to be received, right? I can hand you a gift all day long, and until you take it from me, it's not yours, right? And so the way that this works is God has laid out exactly how you can receive this gift from him. He's offering it. You just have to receive it. And the way you receive it, the Bible says, is by repentance from your sin and faith in the shed blood of Jesus Christ. The Bible says that without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sins. Okay, and so Jesus Christ's blood is very important in all of this. His blood was shed as the perfect lamb, just like in the Old Testament, sacrificing lambs and sheep and all that. And John the Baptist said, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world," right? So when Jesus Christ died, we by faith can receive his righteousness based on what he did. Does that make sense to you?
Yeah.
Completely.
Yeah, so do you think that would be something easy for you to communicate to somebody if you just ended up in a conversation with somebody?
I do, yes.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Have you ever heard it just put simply like that before? Or?
I have. I think that anyone who doesn't know a lot about the subject has a lot of questions. So
yeah,
it's easy to put in those terms, but I think that anyone who doesn't have a lot of knowledge about it would have a lot more questions after that.
Yeah, probably. Probably, but that's where a good knowledge of the Bible comes in, right? Because you can sit down with the Bible and show them, look, this is what the Scripture says about this. This is what the Bible says. So yeah, I would just encourage you guys to really be bold with your faith and share it with people, because the fact is we're in a world full of people who are going to hell. We're in a world full of people who don't know God and are gonna suffer torment, whether you believe that's in flames or not. It's still described as torment, you know, and it's forever. It's for eternity. And eternity, everyone who's alive right now will be dead for far longer than they're alive, you know. And so I just want to maybe put a bit of urgency in you guys to understand how important it really is that when we hold the truth and we have the truth, we need to share it with others. So I thank you guys for participating in this. And We'll let you guys get somewhere and warm up, all right? Have a good night. Thanks a lot,
guys. Thanks a lot. Thanks.
Thanks.
Hi, this is Kirk Cameron, and you're listening to the Cross Current Radio Show.
Hi, this is Corey McKenna, founder of The Cross Current and host of TCC Radio. And I officially welcome you to our coverage of the most vital event in all of human history. In this series, we're keeping the cross current at Easter in the hope that all who hear the good news of Jesus Christ will come to believe. But do you know that the only way we come to believe in Jesus unto eternal life is by seeing clearly our personal involvement in his excruciating death? So that's why at the end of each episode, we'll be walking through the true history of Easter to experience for ourselves and hopefully in ourselves what really happened. Because within this story about the scandalous sentencing and death of Christ, and within the hearts of the various characters involved, we see ourselves and the ultimate decision we all must face, what to do with the Son of God. So let's step into the story at John chapter 18. Jesus has just been betrayed by Judas, arrested by the Romans, denied by Peter, and now he's been brought by the Jews, his own people, to stand trial before Pilate. Now, though Pilate finds no guilt in Jesus, the Jews still ask him to release a man named Barabbas instead of Jesus. And it's here that we encounter our first of three characters that we'll look at in this story. And I'm going to suggest that Barabbas depicts depravity. The Bible tells us that Barabbas was a sort of first century terrorist who'd committed multiple crimes. He was about as depraved as a person as you'd find, and this is key, especially standing beside the perfect, sinless Son of God. Let me ask you, do you see yourself in Barabbas? But I'm not a criminal. Really? Well, I guess it depends who you compare yourself to. Because compared to Jesus Christ, who's ultimately the one by whom you'll be judged, we're all more like Barabbas than we care to admit. Listen carefully to how God describes all people before they come to saving faith in Christ. Romans 3, verses 10 to 12. As it is written, none is righteous, no, not one. No one understands, no one seeks for God. All have turned aside. Together they have become worthless. No one does good, not even one. See, like Barabbas, we're all totally depraved in God's sight before coming to Christ. Meaning, as guilty sinners, we lack any spiritual good in ourselves, and so we also lack the ability to do anything that will in itself please God either. And standing beside Christ, Barabbas looked that much worse. And when you stand before Christ, and he compares you to his standard of righteousness, perfection, you'll stand equally as guilty and condemned as Barabbas, because you too are totally depraved. But because of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, there's hope at Easter. You see, there's a final point on Barabbas here that we can't miss. The picture of redemption portrayed in this criminal exchange. The story goes on to say that Jesus was sentenced to die in place of Barabbas. And so you may also see yourself in Barabbas, in that though you too are a criminal, fully deserving of death, you too can be set free from all crimes. How? Only through repenting and putting your faith in the finished work of Jesus Christ on the cross. What an amazing picture of God's amazing grace and redemption at Easter. Well, thanks again for listening to the Cross Current Radio Show. You can access this podcast online at tccradio.com. I'm Corey McKenna, in the studio and on the street, keeping the cross current in our culture.
Cross Current and TCC Radio are praying for the Lord to align us with a like-minded partner church to continue this outreach radio broadcast in your area. Could that be your church? In addition to equipping you by example to share the gospel, TCC can help your local church gain maximum ministry exposure with both Christians and non-Christians in your community through promoting your church right here on TCC Radio. To explore the possibility of becoming a partner church, please email us at partners@tccradio.com.